Let's read together Exodus chapter 25. In this chapter, we have God's instructions to Moses for the construction of the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, and the lampstand, which would all go into the tabernacle, Israel's central place of worship in the wilderness. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." Let's begin our study of Exodus chapter 25 with some background notes. At the end of Exodus chapter 24, Moses entered God's glory cloud, which covered Mount Sinai, and we read that he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, during this time of 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, the Lord communicated to Moses the details of the design and construction of the tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle. Thus, we have the beginning of a new section here in Exodus containing these details about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be the central sanctuary for Israel's worship of God through their wilderness travels. Here is where all the sacrifices were to take place. Here is where the Lord's presence in the midst of his people was focused. In the first few verses of this chapter, the verses that we just read, we have a collection of materials taken from the people for the construction of the tabernacle. This was the first church building fund, wasn't it? So you see, church building funds are biblical. Seriously speaking, the people were told to make a collection of materials for the tabernacle, but notice, it was to be totally voluntary with no arm twisting or manipulation. Verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." And really, that's the way giving to the Lord's work should be today. It's certainly okay to express needs and exhort the Lord's people concerning biblical principles of giving, but no one should be forced or manipulated to sign a pledge or sent a bill for how much they still owe the church, etc., etc. Notice also that the collection was only taken from the Lord's people. You know, this is also a biblical principle of giving to the Lord's work. Don't take collections from unbelievers. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Exodus chapter 25. Doctrinal point number one: the Ark of the Covenant portrays Christ as the only mediator. The Ark of the Covenant portrays Christ as the only mediator. Verses 10 through 22. "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at 1 end, and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was essentially a wooden chest about 4 feet long, 2.5 feet wide, and 2.5 feet high, and covered over with gold on the outside and on the inside. Verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it. When the children of Israel traveled in the wilderness, the priests inserted poles into rings on the sides of the ark and carried the ark on their shoulders. Verse 14, you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark that the ark may be carried by them. The two stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments were placed in the ark, and we know from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, that two other items were later added to the contents of the ark, namely a golden jar of manna and Aaron's rod that budded in Numbers chapter 17. The lid of the ark was called the mercy seat, and it was made of pure gold. At each end of the mercy seat was a golden angel or cherub with outstretched wings over the mercy seat. The term mercy seat and the word atonement derive from the same Hebrew word meaning to cover. It was on this mercy seat that the high priest sprinkled the blood of the atoning sacrifice once a year on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle to cover the sins of the nation before God. This was the basis for the people being able to relate to God and God being able to dwell in the midst of his people. Now, what does all of this mean to us? And in what way are all of these things spiritual pictures or types, according to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11? Well, the Ark of the Covenant pictures or portrays Christ as the true mediator. The natural wood of the Ark represents his humanity. The glory of the overlaid gold represents his divinity. The mercy seat with the blood represents his perfect atoning sacrifice, which is the only basis for a holy God relating with mercy to an unholy people. That's us. The Ark of the Covenant portrays Christ as the true mediator. Doctrinal point number two, the table of bread portrays Christ as the bread of life. The table of bread portrays Christ as the bread of life. Verses 23 through 30. You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make it for a frame of a handbreadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. We learn from Leviticus chapter 24 that 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, were placed on the golden table of showbread, or bread of the presence before God in the tabernacle. We also know that this bread was food for the priests. So in the 12 loaves of bread, we have both the idea of representation and nourishment or sustenance. In the same way, the Lord Jesus as the true bread from heaven both represents us before God and sustains us as priests of God. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we as believers are holy priests. And in John 6:35, the Lord said that he was the bread of life. Not only do we come to Christ for salvation, but for spiritual sustenance and nourishment as well. The table of bread portrays Christ as the bread of life. Doctrinal point number three, the golden lampstand portrays Christ as the light of the world. The golden lampstand portrays Christ as the light of the world. Verses 31 through 40. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornament knob and a flower, and so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. On the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower, and there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. There were no windows in the tabernacle. All light was from the lamps in the golden lampstand or candlestick. The golden lampstand was a beautifully sculptured candelabrum or menorah supporting seven oil lamps. We see in verse 39 that the golden lampstand was made from a talent of pure gold. That was as much as 75 to 80 pounds of gold. That's a lot of gold. It's easy to see how the golden lampstand typifies or portrays Christ as the light of the world. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of life for salvation and for service to God, as the lampstand was for the priest in the tabernacle. The golden lampstand portrays Christ as the light of the world. Now, what about practical application? Let's follow the divine pattern. Moses and the children of Israel were to follow the pattern that God gave them for the tabernacle and its furnishings. Look back at verse 9. "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." And verse 40, "And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." Moses was to follow the divine pattern and not to decide to add extra furniture, for example, such as chairs in the tabernacle. No chairs. Chairs were not part of the divine pattern. The priest's work was never done. They were not to sit in the tabernacle. This would take away from the spiritual truth that only Christ as high priest sat down after his sacrificial work was over. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Now, as Christians, we are expected to follow the divine pattern for worship that we see in the New Testament. The divine pattern for believers today is the church. Not a business organization and not a social club, but the church. The church is the body of Christ composed of all believers, and all believers have spiritual gifts and should be encouraged to use them. Local churches should reflect this divine pattern. Let's follow the divine pattern.